Roland Martin.
You probably say, come on, give me a break. Move on, guys.
Roland Martin, good morning.
People, good morning, good morning, good morning. Supreme Court issued their ruling yesterday, of course, in the Voting Rights Act case, and it could have been easy to say, let's get somebody from the administration to express their outrage, to talk about, you know, just what's next, things along those lines. But I think what we should be thinking, what we should be discussing for our audience is, what's next for us? What do we do? What do grassroots folks do as a result of this case? So we turn to Judith Brown Dianis, who's the co-director of the Advancement Project. And Judith, that really is the issue for me. What's next for us? We can express outrage, but we have some work to do. And so lay out for our audience what the next step should be for us.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you. I just want to say to folks that it is bad. It is very bad what they did. You need to understand that we still have a Voting Rights Act. We still are able to bring lawsuits. It's just that the Department of Justice won't be able to stop discrimination before it happens. So let's get that straight. You know, I've seen it on Facebook. No, we actually still have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. But what we now must move to is to understand that, in fact, voting matters, right? That, in fact, the people who made that, first of all, the people who make these laws that prevent us from voting are elected by people. And then the people who say that it's okay to make those laws and to take our vote away, the Supreme Court, are put in place by elected officials. So we've got to make sure that we are turning our outrage about what happened in the Supreme Court into action. That means, number one, you can go to Advancement Project's website. We have a petition for a constitutional amendment for a right to vote, because we've got to show the courts that this right to vote is sacred and they can't mess with it.
And Judith, I know somebody listening saying, well, after we have that, the fact of the matter is, I know former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. for years has been pushing this. There is no affirmative right to vote for every
American, right. In
the Constitution. There simply are amendments saying you can't discriminate based upon...
That's right, Roland. And so there's now, with him gone, we now have Congressman Ellison. Keith Ellison has introduced a new bill for a constitutional amendment for a right to vote. I want to understand why this is important. The right to vote is important in the Constitution because if we really did have an explicit affirmative right to vote, the court wouldn't be able to do this to us, right? Any change that would come to voting, they would have to say, was there a serious, compelling reason for that to happen? Mm-hmm. And so we've got to enshrine it. We've got to make sure that you can't mess with this right. And by doing the constitutional amendment, we will get there.
Judith and Roland, let me try to understand this now. Let's go back to 2012 and say Pennsylvania.
Right.
One of the states that was trying to suppress the vote. And mm-hmm. then the Attorney General, Eric Holder, stepped in and the government ruled that they couldn't do what they were trying to do. You're telling me that now that this has gone down with the Supreme Court, it won't be up to the Attorney General, but up to the state of Pennsylvania?
Here's the deal, Tom. So Pennsylvania, actually, the Attorney General didn't step in. That Advancement Project brought that lawsuit, and we were able to stop it.
Okay.
But he stepped into Texas, okay? Let's take Texas. Texas, they passed a voter ID law as an emergency measure without any kind of evidence of voter fraud. They passed voter ID. 600,000 already registered voters don't have the ID. They passed the law anyway. They didn't care. The Department of Justice stepped in along with the Advancement Project and others. We were able to stop it. Guess what? As of yesterday,
Texas says it's back in place.
That's right. Texas said, ooh, y'all lost. Guess what? We're starting voter ID tomorrow.
Judith,
the key here is that, Tom, for instance, in Texas, that in more than half of the counties in Texas, there is no Department of Public Safety office for you to even go to get the ID. And that was one of the reasons why they said, look, the courts here say, what the hell are you guys are doing? And so if by not having the preclearance, now you have to wait after the fact. The election might be over by the time there's a ruling, so it might say, oh, you guys were right, but the election is already over.
That's right. And look, and this is, Here's two important things. It's places like Texas, people, you know, I mean, their attorney general tweeted yesterday voter ID is effective immediately, okay? Virginia is another state that just passed an ID law. They were supposed to take it to the Department of Justice. Now they don't have to. They can start to implement. North Carolina. We in North Carolina, 39 counties in North Carolina are covered by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. They won't have to comply. North Carolina legislature is still in session, right? And in North Carolina, they have pending bills that would take away early voting, that would put voter ID in place, you know, I mean, take away same-day registration. All of those things would have had to been approved by the Department of Justice. Now it doesn't. So we expect that North Carolina legislature is going
to
move it quickly.
So in 2014, that's going to be the law. They can do all these things in 2014.
Not just 2014. But
right
locally,
now,
for instance, in New Jersey, no. there's an election in November. All of the local elections beginning right now under those states that are covered by the Voting Rights Act,
they
can do it right now.
Right now,
not 2014.
If they have a local election in Texas, they can do it immediately.
So the point is, Tom, what we have to be, we can be outraged, but we have to have, when it comes to mass mobilization,
right.
And Judith, this is why, and why I've been saying it for the longest, we can't ignore voting for state reps, state senators,
that's
gubernatorial
right.
races, because this is, the action is not in D.C. The state legislatures are where they're changing all of these laws, and
that's
too many
right.
of us have been asleep at the wheel when these folks have been elected.
That's right. And so here's the deal, is that the court said that Congress should change the formula, right? That we can get we might be able to get Section 5 back if they change who gets covered and how it's decided, right? So here's the deal for folks. Look, 2014, we don't turn out in big numbers in those off-year elections, those mid-cycle elections. We have got to make our voices heard because Congress and our state legislatures need to know that we ain't letting this go down, that we're not going backwards, that we're moving forward. And so we've got to make sure that we turn up at the polls. We've got to make sure that we're at the March in Washington in August. We've got to make sure that when our state legislatures, North Carolina and South Carolina, are still in session, if you live in those states, you better make sure that your voice is heard now because they're getting ready to try and take your voting rights immediately.
And Judith, I tell people, don't just focus on marching in D.C. This is a state issue. We should be descending
right.
on
state
capitals all across America.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't let it happen.
Judith Brown, Dianist, co-director of the Advancement Project. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Good job.